The month of October is a month of taking charge by the power of character. We'll be taking charge the way Daniel took charge because of his character in Babylon. The way Joseph took charge by the power of his character in Egypt. The way Esther took charge in the Persian Empire. In the same way, we shall be taking charge. And tonight, I want to speak very quickly. It's a preservation service. So I'm speaking very quickly on the preservation power of a clear conscience. The preservation power of a clear conscience. The preservation power. And I am going to see how fast we can go on this subject. In 1 Peter chapter. Now our objective is understanding the power of a clear conscience to preserve. The power of a clear conscience to preserve. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1. Sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 19. The Bible said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Wow. This scripture identifies for us two forces that will prevent the shipwreck of life and destiny. That if my life and your life should, you know, shipwreck where the storm scattered the ship into pieces and it is gone. If the storms of life will not pieces our lives and destinies, first, we need faith, and two, we need a good conscience. Most times we emphasize faith. If you believe enough, your life will not be wasted. If you believe enough, witches cannot succeed against you. If your faith is in place, no power of hell can dare you. The Bible is now telling us that it is not just faith that will prevent shipwreck. Good conscience. Good conscience. So the presence of faith is necessary to avoid shipwreck of life and destiny. The presence of good conscience is also necessary to avoid shipwreck. So if your faith is intact, but your conscience is not good, there are things that you may not prevent. If your conscience is good, you are living upright, but your faith is not intact, you could still be a victim because you are a good person that is timid, a good person that is still doubting, a holy person that lacks faith. So the two of them must be in place. We must have faith. We must have a good conscience. And then our lives and our destinies will not end as shipwreck. You will not end in shipwreck in the name of Jesus. We saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, verse 19. There are scriptures that show us what I'm talking about. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 13, and he said, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If your conscience is good, if you follow the path of good, not the path of wrong, not the path of evil, who is he that can harm you? This is the meaning. You didn't steal anybody's thing, and he said it will not be well with you. He takes your name to a native doctor. It will not work. But you stole his property, and he said it will not be well with you. And he took your name to a witch doctor. It may work. It can work. Because there is a reason why He said, who is he that can harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. If you are not in the way of evil, you are not in the way of harm. If you are not in the way of evil, if you are not in the way of wrong, you are not in the way of harm. If you are, and if you are not in the way of right, you are not in the way of safety. If you are not in the way of right, you are not in the way of safety. Isaiah chapter, all right, let's look at the life of Jesus in the book of John chapter 14 and in verse 30. Look at the testimony of Jesus, two examples. Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. The devil is coming, but I don't have his property. So he has not, there is nothing, he can do nothing about me. He can do nothing against me. He can't stand me because I owe him nothing. I am holding nothing that belongs to him. That was Jesus by the preservation power of a good conscience. And then you look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. If you look at Daniel chapter 6 from verse 2 all the way to verse 5, you see, over these three presidents, Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them and that the king should have no damage. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found with him. So they conspired, like you know, and they said they cannot find any occasion concerning Daniel except concerning the law of his God. So they said nobody should pray again. And Daniel violated the law, and they threw Daniel into the lion's den. You know all the story. Now go all the way to verse 20 now. All the way to verse 20, you see the preservation power of a clear conscience. And when he came to the den, the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? See the power of a good conscience. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. He said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency. My conscience is clear. My hands are clean. Was found in him. And also before you yourself, O king, I have not done any wrong. Yes, sir. He said, for that purpose, the lion couldn't harm me. The lion's power to hurt was destroyed by the power of a good conscience. The lion's power to hurt was destroyed by the power of a clear conscience. I announce to somebody here today, if your hands are clean and your heart is pure before God, every agenda of hell looking for you backfires to hell. It backfires to those who are looking for you. You believe that? Say loud, amen. Very, very quickly, how does a clear conscience... A clear conscience. What is the preservation power? How does a clear conscience preserve? When I say a clear conscience, it means you are void of offense towards God, towards man. That's how Acts chapter 24, verse 16 defines it. Herein do I exercise my conscience to be void of offense towards God, towards man. I am my heart between me and God. My conscience is void of offense. I have not set out my life to offend God deliberately, intentionally. And have not set out in my life to offend man deliberately, intentionally. Herein do I exercise myself. Now, what is the power of a clear conscience to preserve? Number one, the clear conscience facilitates boldness and faith. Where conscience is clear, boldness is effortless. Faith is effortless. Proverbs 28 verse 1. He said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold. The one whose conscience is clear is bold like a lion. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, where we read just now. He said, kept calling Peter. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. 1 Timothy 1:19, where he said, holding faith and a good conscience, Good conscience and faith go hand in hand, which some, having put away, they have made shipwreck. So, the clear conscience facilitates boldness and faith. And faith, now you can complete the statement, and faith brings divine preservation. Faith activates divine preservation. Take the shield of faith, wherein you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians 6:16. Faith brings divine preservation. The shield of faith preserves you from the flying arrows of darkness. And Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. So when the conscience is clear, boldness is activated at the place of prayer. Boldness at the place of prayer. Boldness of faith. And that faith shields you from arrows that are flying. Somebody say amen. Number two, the clear conscience facilitates existence in the presence of God. It facilitates existence in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life. It facilitates existence in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life. Psalm 24, verse 3 to verse 5. Psalm 24, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who is a person qualified to be with God? He is a man with a clear conscience. He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This man is qualified. The man who has a pure heart, clean hands, is qualified for the presence of God. And that presence of God preserves him. Why? Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. In my God will I trust. So when the conscience is clear, the presence of God is your natural presence. It's your natural habitat. Show me a man who is living with a conscience that is clear before God. When you come around him, you feel God's presence. That presence preserves him. Psalm 23 verse 4. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have no evil to fear, for thou, because I am in your presence, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The presence of God is a preservative of life. The clear conscience facilitates existence in the presence of God, and the presence of God is a preservative of life. Number three, and of course you know that when the conscience is not clear, people are cut off from God. Psalm 59 verse 1 to 2, he said, behold the Lord's, Isaiah 59 1 to 2, behold the Lord's eyes are not shut that he cannot see, his ears, hand is not shutting that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So it separates you. You are cut off from God's presence when your conscience is not clear. Now, number three, the clear conscience activates the blessing of God. People are blessed of God when their consciences are clear, when they walk uprightly. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Blessed is that man that will not walk where the ungodly walk, will not sit where the mockers sit, will not stand in the way of scorners. He said, blessed is that man. Now, the Psalm 24, verse 4 and 5. Look at that. Look at that. He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. What will happen to that man? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He that has clean hands, a pure heart, he has not sworn, he's not lying and swearing. Have you seen people like that before? They are lying and they are swearing. He said that man, he has clean hands, a pure heart. There are people towards you, if you put yam in their heart, it will cook. If you put cocoyam in their heart, when they see another person, put cocoyam in their heart, it will boil. The heart is too hot. Everything good, they hate it. Everything progressive, they are angry. I told you that. This man, I think he's a franchise owner of BMW, Mercedes. Almost anything you know that is in that range, in the not just Nigeria, literally African wide. Rolls Royce, Range Rovers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Such a person comes to this kind of place and he said his vision is enlarging. That he's telling people not to be overexcited until they see some things that are bigger than what they have seen. You know, big people value results. Tiny people attack results. Failures. People who are going nowhere, they attack things that are good. People who are headed somewhere, they celebrate things that are good. He said, a pure heart, like the heart of a baby. Innocent heart, clean hands, not swearing deceitfully. He said, that man shall receive the blessing from the Lord. The blessing from the Lord. So a clear conscience activates the blessing of God. And what does the blessing do? I'm completing the statement now. And the blessing of God is the guarantee of preservation. It's a guarantee of preservation. It is not possible for a man to be blessed by God and be wasted by the devil. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 10, God speaking about Job, he said, Satan speaking about Job, he said, has thou not made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. So the blessing of the Lord is side by side with the preservation of the law. Isaiah chapter 65 and in verse 8, he said, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. When a blessing is in a thing, it is not destroyable by the devil. Do you want to activate the blessing of God on your life? Walk with a pure heart, clean hands. And once that is happening, the blessing is activated. And once the blessing is activated, you are not available for destruction. You are not available for manipulation. You are not available for occultic operation. You are not available for molestation from the force of hell. I speak to someone here today. Every agenda of molestation, every agenda of destruction, every agenda of devastation from hell against your life, I declare it destroyed now. Is somebody getting anything here today? Number four, the clear conscience frustrates satanic presence and activity. It frustrates it. Satanic presence, satanic activity. John chapter 14 verse 30, Jesus speaking said, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. My hands are clean. My heart is clear. And so that devil, he has no basis to hang around my life. And then you see Proverbs 19:23, the clear conscience frustrates satanic presence and activity. He said the fear of the Lord, which is the basis of a clear conscience, he said it tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. When evil is looking for who to visit, they will never find your house. On the other side, Joshua the high priest was wearing a garment that allowed for satanic resistance. In Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 all the way to verse 5, look at that, Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, why was Satan standing to resist Joshua? Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. Maybe it was garment of lie or fraud, or garment of uncleanness, bad movies. He was wearing a garment, and Satan resisted him. The clear conscience frustrates satanic presence and activity. Number five, the clear conscience provokes the flow of the oil. That is the anointing. And the anointing destroys satanic activities. The clear conscience provokes the flow of the oil. And the, in bracket, the anointing. And the anointing destroys satanic activities. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 8, he said, let your garment be always white, and let your head lack no oil. If your garment is white, your head will not lack oil. If your garment is white, your head will lack no oil. Let your garment be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. When the oil is on your head, what happens? Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. And in that day, the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder, taken off from off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The man with a clear conscience, the woman with a clear conscience, is a carrier of oil, is a permanent carrier of oil. And that oil on his life is an oil that dismantles yokes, dismantles satanic agenda, dismantles satanic activity. Somebody say aloud, amen. Number six, is anybody here still? Number six, the clear conscience is a spiritual weapon of defense. A spiritual weapon of defense. A body armor. If you wish, you can put a dash. A spiritual bulletproof vest. That's what the Bible said. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 14, Ephesians 6, 10 to 14, if you look at that, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we have a lot of spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. You see, it's a spiritual armor that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins get about. That's your waist with a belt of truth, and your breastplate, body armor. Bulletproof vest of righteousness, right? And the shield of faith. But a bulletproof vest. Is there any translation that put it like that in verse 14? Whether a body armor or bulletproof vest or something, you can put that on the screen. It is a spiritual weapon of defense. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor. New Living Translation of God's righteousness. You arm your body with his righteousness. You arm your body. You see Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17. Look at what he said. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So I uphold my righteousness in their lives. I uphold their walk of righteousness to the point where no weapon that is formed against them prospers. Hallelujah. Finally, number seven, the clear conscience positions a life in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. It positions a life in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. It positions somebody's life in that realm that is beyond the reach of harm. Isaiah 33 verse 15 and 16. Isaiah 33 verse 15 and 16. He says, he that walketh righteously, is describing the man with a clear conscience, that speaketh uprightly, the man that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding bribes. Conscience is clear. He stops his ears from hearing of blood. He's not there when they are killing anybody and it's not a party to it. He shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He said, that man shall dwell on high. He can't dwell on low. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. I'm sure you know that Mount Everest is a mountain that you have to climb 35,000 feet above sea level. That is where aircrafts fly. He said, this man shall be operating in that terrain that is beyond the reach of witchcraft, is beyond the reach of little envy and bitterness. They can't pull you down if your hands are clear. And to the best of your knowledge, you are walking in line with the plan of God. I pray and I declare upon somebody here, no devil shall bring you down. No force of hell shall crush you down. In Jesus' precious name. Very, very quickly. What have we said about a clear conscience in terms of preserving of life? Number one, we said that a clear conscience activates boldness and faith brings divine preservation. Number two, that a clear conscience facilitates existence in the presence of God, and the presence of God is a preservative of life. Number three, that a clear conscience activates the blessing of God, and the blessing of God is a guarantee of preservation. Number four, that a clear conscience frustrates satanic presence and activity. Number five, that a clear conscience provokes the flow of the oil, the anointing, and that anointing destroys satanic activities. Number six, that a clear conscience, the spiritual weapon of defense, a spiritual bulletproof vest. Number seven, that a clear conscience positions a life in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. What is our counsel this evening? Number one, determined to live for Christ, not for self. Determined to live for Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Determined to live for Christ. We don't determine not to live life with just you in mind. Live for Christ. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Number two, determined to live with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and man. To live with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and man. That is, do your best not to consciously, deliberately, intentionally displease God. And also not to consciously, deliberately, intentionally hurt people. Acts 24 verse 16. I'm not talking about people who are angry at you because of how you look. That one is in another realm. Because, if you kill yourself, there are people who will be angry with you. Now, provided you are not the one who generated that anger from them, you're okay. Am I communicating? Provided you did not deliberately, intentionally, actively keep on doing things to people against people to irritate, aggravate, infuriate them. But you are living your life. And where you deliberately trampled on a feet. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you. I was just passing. I'm sorry. When you have crossed that realm, and anybody wants to die, because, see, there are people, there is nothing you do that will please them provided you are still alive. You understand what I mean by that? Provided you are still alive. There's nothing you do. That's not the realm I'm talking about. So that you don't kill yourself. To please, but exercise your conscience. Always to be void of offense in the front of God and in the front of man. Determine. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to live with a conscience that is void of offense towards you and towards fellow men in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, and finally, rapidly obtain forgiveness and cleansing. Rapidly obtain forgiveness and cleansing for the conscience in the time of wrong deed. Rapidly. If you read 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 to 9 in context, he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. What's the meaning? That is, if you are walking with God, you will not deliberately walk in darkness. You leave church, go to native doctor. You leave church, go and hang your bag on the road looking for who will carry you in a vehicle. No. Look at that verse 6 again. But if we walk in the light, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth, is a continuous process. We walk in the light, he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Why? Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know the meaning of that? There are things you did wrong without wanting to do wrong. You say you are coming by 2, you came by 3. That could be a lie. You didn't intend to lie. Am I communicating? Verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins, he is permanently faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Except you did not ask him for mercy. Except you didn't ask for forgiveness. It is better to confess the sin than to excuse the sin. Am I communicating? I mean, yes, Lord, I believe I'm wrong. I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for cleansing. I'm asking for forgiveness. I think the greatest sin that takes people to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. Rejecting him as your Lord and living for him. As long as you have received him as your Lord and you maintain the deliberate consciousness of living for God, where you err unconsciously without deliberately intending to err, you said, Lord, here am I. And you live for him like that, and you are excused from every arrow of destruction. It's a new day for somebody. You will not be cut short before your time. You will not be cut short before your time. You will not be cut short before your time. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to live for you. In the name of Jesus, I cannot be cut short before my time. I shall fulfill my days and I shall fulfill my destiny. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' precious name. One more time, lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to live for you. I receive the grace to do your will. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stand up on your feet everywhere you are. Somebody receive something today, say amen. Somebody receive something today, say amen. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Each of us are saying, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Lift your voice and sing the song. In my life. Something new. In my life. Something new. In my life. Oh, something new, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, lift your voice and sing. Do something new. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Do something new. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Lift your hands and say, Father, louder, say, Father, I have come before you today. I receive the grace to live for Christ.
To live for Christ.
And not for myself.
And not for myself.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To live with a conscience.
To live with a conscience.
That is void of offense.
That is void of offense.
Towards God and man.
Towards God and man.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I live with the grace. To maintain the clear conscience.
To maintain a clear conscience.
By the walking of the blood of Jesus.
By the walking of the blood.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Go ahead, open your mouth and pray for 1 minute. I receive that grace. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Blessed be your name.
In Jesus' name.
You are here tonight in need of surrender to Jesus. You need forgiveness for your sins. You heard the message. There's no other message you could have preached to get commitment to Jesus beyond what we have just said. You are here and you are saying, Pastor, I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want today to mark a new day for me. Place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name.